What's up, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of the Josiah Smeltzer Show. I'm really happy to have you with me today. Thank you for tuning in. I think today is going to deliver a lot of value for you, and it's on a really interesting topic. Today, we're going to cover my notes from reading the book, The Millionaire Next Door. Before we get going, I've got a really exciting development for you. I'm going to be offering a maximum of 10 spots in my coaching and consulting mentorship program. And what this is going to do is I'm going to work with you on your financial goals, and I'm going to help you build your business just the way I built my seven-figure business and achieved financial independence. I'm going to teach you those same principles and help you reach your financial goals. Warren Buffett said it best. He said, "The best investment you'll ever make is in yourself." So I think you'll be surprised at how affordable this actually is. And if this helps you become a millionaire or creates an eight-figure net worth for you, this will seem like pennies when you look back on it. Sometimes all you need is someone to help you get over that hurdle or get a plan together, or you need someone to talk to on a regular basis to help you continue to churn towards your goals. And I think that I'm going to be able to help you do that. There's only 10 spots. If you want to reach out to me about this, you can email me. The email is josiahsmeltzer@gmail.com. That's josiahsmeltzer@gmail.com. Or you can also shoot me a DM on Instagram, and my profile there is @josiahsmeltzer. When you email me, just put coaching/mentorship in the subject line, and also do the same on Instagram. And I'm happy to chat with you about that. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to connecting with you and helping you reach your goals. So now let's dive into my notes on The Millionaire Next Door. This book is one of those books that you hear about a lot. You'll hear people say, "Oh yeah, if you read The Millionaire Next Door, you know, the average millionaire looks like this, or the average millionaire looks like that." The interesting thing about this book that most people have heard of is that there are millionaires all around us, but it's not who you think it is. The people typically driving the flashy cars and taking the big vacations, those typically aren't the self-made millionaires. The authors of this book, Thomas Stanley and William Danko, they did a study on self-made millionaires. And what they found is that the average self-made millionaire drives a modest car, lives in a modest neighborhood, and shops at the average stores. These aren't flashy people typically. The people that are flashy are typically high income earners, but don't have any wealth. They haven't been investing and saving and been diligent with their income in building long-term wealth. So I think these notes are really going to be interesting to you. They're very interesting to me. And I think there's a lot of wisdom and nuggets you can really take for your own and apply it to your life. And hopefully this podcast episode delivers a lot of value for you. So we'll start with my first bullet point. Wealth is possible for everyone. Let that sink in. Doesn't matter what job you're in right now, wealth is possible for you. You're not held back by your job. Wealth creation is a result of doing things right. It's typically where luck meets opportunity, right? You got to be in the game to win the game. If you don't have any money in the markets, it doesn't matter if the markets have a record year and go up 40%, because you won't realize that gain. You won't get that luck that everyone talks about. That's actually much more about preparation and hard work than it is luck. you can't become wealthy if you don't know how to manage your spending. Spending is really the Achilles heel of the wealth building creation process. I would say it's spending as well as not maximizing your income, right? If you're not making enough, obviously it's harder to save. So you want to get your income up as fast as you can, and you want to live below your means. Can't be spending everything you're making. So the authors of this book found that wealthy people think and act differently than the average person. Millionaires are often more frugal than those who are not self-made millionaires. This makes sense, right? We all kind of know, when you think of a millionaire you know that's frugal, you probably have somebody that pops in your mind. We all know someone that has millions in the bank, but they're still frugal. And the authors point out that one of the reasons these people have millions is because they are frugal. It's because they live by those principles of living below their means and not overspending to build that wealth that they have. So during the research for this book, Stanley and Danko discovered that most self-made millionaires don't look or act like their net worth. Most millionaires live in average neighborhoods, shop at regular stores, drive cars that the average Joe drives around. You don't know that most of these self-made millionaires are wealthy by looking at them. They also found that high income and low net worth individuals were the ones who lived in the expensive neighborhoods, drove the expensive cars, shopped at the most expensive places. But that's actually why these people aren't wealthy. They don't create wealth with their high incomes, but are instead out spending that high income. We all know people like this. Hopefully we all aspire not to be like this. We don't want to be the high income, low wealth crowd. We want to be the high income, high wealth crowd, because as you develop specific skill sets and become really good in your niche, your income will go up. So you have to specialize, educate yourself and specialize to drive your income up. And as your income goes up, you live well below your means. You give, you invest, and then after paying your bills, you use the money that's left for the miscellaneous random stuff. Broke people prioritize miscellaneous random stuff first. People who build wealth prioritize random stuff last. People seeking financial independence must prioritize living below their means and investing to build wealth. Investing is prioritized over spending. That's huge. Investing is prioritized over spending. You must live below your paycheck. You must be frugal. You must delay gratification. If investing is prioritized over spending, then you're paying yourself first. So don't think of it as, I just can't use this money. Think of each dollar you make as a little warrior in your army. And your army's goal is to go out and fight on your behalf and bring back the spoils of war. So when you make $100, instead of saying, hey, I could spend this $100 on whatever, think about, hey, I could take $20 out of this $100 and I could invest it, and that $20 hopefully is going to bring me back $2 over the next year and come back with the initial $20 as well. Now I've got $22 or 22 little warriors in my army fighting on my behalf. Now this sounds silly when using small amounts, but when you compound your money at 10% a year over 30 years, it becomes exponentially more than you put in. And we're going to talk over an example about that here in a second. So it takes discipline and delaying gratification to build wealth. Let's go ahead and dive into my example about delayed gratification. I am a millionaire and I built my wealth through investing in real estate and delaying gratification. Now, one thing that I've delayed gratification on is having a nice car. I currently drive a used Honda Civic. I think my Honda's got 120,000 miles on it, something like that. It gets good mileage. It's paid for. It is what it is. It's not a flashy car. I could afford a really nice vehicle, but I've chosen not to. And here's why. Well, the last time I looked at a truck that I really liked, it was $75,000 to buy it. So let's say I'm going to use $75,000 cash because I'm not going to go into debt on a vehicle. And I'm going to buy that truck. In scenario A, I buy that truck and for $75,000, I drive it off the lot, it goes down in value, and that $75,000 is 75,000 little warriors that could have been working for me to make me money that are gone, they're dead. Now, instead, in scenario B, I keep the paid-for Honda Civic. I don't worry about impressing people that I don't even like or don't even know in my new truck. And I take my $75,000 and I invest it at 10% a year over the next 10 years. Let's see what that $75,000 turns into. That $75,000 bringing in a 10% return over the next 10 years turns into roughly $177,000. So $75,000 into $177,000. Now, if I'm still like, man, I got to have the truck. I got to have the truck. Well, guess what? By delaying gratification, I can now go get my truck and I've got $100,000 left over. And you may say, well, the cost of trucks gone up. Okay, well, whatever. I've got $75,000 to $100,000 left over. The example is valid. This is what people who build wealth do with their income. They prioritize investing for a return so they can get ahead and end up having that gratification one day. But when they do, it's not killing their earning potential, which is killing the goose that's laying the golden eggs. That's what you don't want to do. So my financial independence story. So you might ask, how did you get financially independent? How did you reach FI? Well, here's my story in a short condensed version. I started off in the W-2 world. I quickly realized that I wanted to go a different route. And I left and helped a friend start a business. I got some licenses in real estate, appraisal, and real estate license. And then ended up eventually opening my own real estate business. And a friend asked me if we could do some investment in real estate together. I ran point on that. I got us distressed properties. We got them fixed up, rented out, refinanced, and built a portfolio that way with money that my business partner put in. And then he was paid back fully before we started splitting the profits in 2021 when the portfolio value went crazy in single family properties. We sold it all and moved it all using 1031 exchanges into vacation rentals in the Smoky Mountains. And that exponentially increased our portfolio profit. And that portfolio profit, which we now have hired a friend of mine to manage for us, is kicking off. It's a seven figures in revenue a year and a healthy six figure profit on that portfolio a year between me and my business partner. So I am financially independent from that income. That income covers over, with money left over, all of my living expenses. And so people always want to become financially independent, but what they don't think on is what to do once you're financially independent. And that's something right now I'm working on, is I'm interested in making impact, helping people achieve their goals, making a positive impact in the world, glorifying God with my life. But the principles are there which correlate with this book, and that is I had to delay gratification. I spent 5 years of tireless work on that real estate portfolio, morning, noon, and night, without taking a penny of profit out of that. I was working other jobs outside of that investment portfolio to build that to where it is today. I was able to delay gratification. I was able to put off buying the new car, put off buying the fanciest house, put off buying the newest and best and going on the biggest vacations because I had this goal of reaching financial independence, being able to work for myself, run my own businesses, do my own podcast, wear a baseball hat to work if I want, do the work that I love. This is possible for you as well. What you got to do is you got to embrace the mindset that it takes to make this stuff happen. So let's go on to the next point. It's very challenging for a married couple to build wealth if one person is a hyper consumer. You need to get on the same page with your spouse to reach your financial goals. So if you got one thrifty saver and then one hyper consumer, you're pulling in different directions and that can create tension in your marriage or in your relationship. And also it can stall you out on your goals of building wealth through living below your means. So one way millionaires build wealth and hit their financial independence goal is by budgeting and planning where their money will go. It's a lot easier to get the traction you want if you're planning and budgeting than it is if you're just spending and then trying to figure out where it went at the end of the month. All right, so let's talk about you're getting your income, you get your paycheck. How should you prioritize that paycheck? I would argue that this is the layout. You want to give first. You then want to invest. Then you pay your bills. And fourth, you use what's left over for fun. So give, invest, pay bills, use what's left over for fun. Most people reverse this. They use their fun money first, then they pay their bills, then third they may invest, and then fourth they may give. I'd argue that that's backwards. You want to give, then invest, then pay bills, then use what's left for fun. This will build your net worth and grow your wealth. So authors Stanley and Danko found that millionaires who are first generation wealthy, as well as those who inherit wealth and manage it well, learn how to allocate three resources properly. Resource number one, they get a solid financial education and start making a profit and investing as soon as possible. So they get educated, they get their income up, and they start making money as soon as they can. Number two, they use their time and energy productively and efficiently. They cut unproductive things out of their lives. And number three, they hire a financial advisor. All right, next point. Most self-made millionaires accept tasks carefully and say no to things that are not the best use of their time and resources. So most self-made millionaires are able to say, this is what's going to push me towards my goal. And then they cut out the stuff that's going to drag them away from their goal and drag them down. The authors also found that it's impossible to sustain family wealth for generations if your children don't learn how to be good at the money game. They discovered that giving sums of money to your adult children doesn't help them in the long run. They found that the opposite is actually true. The less the adult child receives, the more they will earn as they learn how to become self-sufficient and independent, productive adults. I think this is so big. My parents and my grandparents helped pay my way through college, for which I am eternally grateful. However, I did have a meal plan in college, but I did not have money handed to me. They were not bankrolling my existence. I had to go out and get a job. If I wanted to go on a spring break trip or take my girlfriend out or whatever, I had to go out and earn that money, which taught me to be a self-sufficient, independent adult. When I got out of college, it was more of the same. You're on your own, sink or swim, good luck. And I learned how to make a living and get ahead and live below my means. And I credit my parents with not giving me too much to make that happen. So I found this to be very interesting, because you also know people who are given a lot of money, even adult children who are given a lot of money by their wealthy parents. And you can kind of see a trend with them where they're just not quite self-sufficient. They rely a lot on their parents' wealth. Most self-made millionaires accept tasks carefully and say no to things that are not in the best use of their time and resources. I think we hit that one earlier, actually. All right, next point. The authors also found that gift recipients have a hard time distinguishing between their wealth and their parents' wealth. So these adult children that are getting money given to them, they start thinking that their parents' wealth is also theirs, and it kind of gets mixed in, and it's like they lose that initiative to go out and produce and become self-sustaining. So I think one of the greatest gifts you can give your children, especially your adult children, is teaching them the principles to build wealth for themselves. It's far better to teach your child how to make $1 million than it is to give them $1 million, because if you teach them how to make $1 million, then they can make an unlimited amount of money for themselves. Whereas if you're giving them the money like a lottery winner, they're going to go out, they don't have those principles and tools in their tool belt to be able to grow or manage that money, and it's just going to disappear. So as a parent, our goal should be to grow our children into independent and able adults. So you have to find your niche, become a specialist, and grow your income. You need to increase your income so you can invest more and prime the investment pump. So this is how to get your income up. Find your niche, become a specialist, and grow that income. You have to increase your income so you can invest more and prime the investment pump. Next point. Wealthy people do spend money on things that matter to them, such as something items are of high quality or life experiences. They just prioritize investing in frugality on the front end of their journey towards building wealth. So you're not building wealth just to have a bunch of money in the bank, right? You're doing it for a reason. The delayed gratification doesn't mean you can't ever get a truck. It's just the principle of investing first to create exponentially more will then allow you to get the truck later, and you won't even be able to notice any of the money's gone. And you'll be able to give so generously and things like that. So Stanley and Danko found the job wasn't a relevant indicator of a millionaire's net worth, but that hard work, discipline, and an understanding of money are the drivers. So they found that the job wasn't the relevant indicator towards someone being a millionaire, but it was the principles of hard work, discipline, and understanding how money works that were the drivers there. It makes sense. So it doesn't matter what job you have. You don't have to be a doctor or a banker or a whatever. You can be a teacher. You can be a minister. You can be a missionary, and you can still build wealth. Like if you're a missionary that's not got any income, obviously you can't build wealth with no income. But if you're a minister working for a church and even paid a small income, you can still live below your means and invest and grow wealth. All right, next point. They found that most self-made millionaires are self-employed professionals or business owners. So the large percentage of self-made millionaires own their own business or were self-employed. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't become a millionaire as a W-2 employee. There's probably lots of people listening to this show right now that are millionaires and are W-2 employees. That's certainly possible. So in conclusion, how do we build wealth? We build wealth by developing a skill set that's in demand. So figure out your niche, develop your skill set, specialize, drive your income up as fast as you can, and then delay gratification, live below your means, give, invest in yourself, invest in your own wealth and investment portfolio, pay your bills, and then use the leftover money on random fun stuff, right? You have to delay gratification. You have to prioritize investing. You have to develop the skill sets. And then you're going to have a better chance of rapid wealth creation if you are owning your own business or self-employed. However, if you have a high earning potential job in the W-2 world, this is possible as well. That being said, you can make $35,000 a year if you're living below your means and you're in a job in an area of the world where this is possible. It is possible to still be able to put money away and get ahead. I mean, there's stories about there was a story recently I read about a janitor that worked at a high school. Their entire life, they made something like $25,000 or $30,000 as a full-time janitor. And then when this person died, they left millions to the school. So this person was obviously living well below their means and investing. There's no way just saving $5,000 a year turned into millions. So they were investing, right? So using that same principle, we can do the same. And all this to say that piling up money is not going to give you purpose or joy in life. It is just a tool that can be used to make a positive impact in the world. And just like the parable in the Bible about the different people that were given talents, one guy multiplied it, another guy buried it in the ground, and God comes, or the employer comes back and asks, what did you do with what I've given you? And this one guy says, I multiplied what you gave me. And this other guy says, I was scared. I didn't want to lose it, so I buried it in the ground. And the employer took away what that person had and gave it to the person that had been multiplying what he had been given. So we want to be on the side of the multiplication and not the side of burying out of fear. And so I just want to encourage all of you on your journey. Don't get frustrated. Don't get down. You can do it. These principles will work for you. I'm on your side, and I want to pray with you guys real quick as we close out. God, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for just the principles you've taught us about investing our resources and living below our means and growing what you've given us. Please help us to view this as a tool to bless others and not to make much of ourselves. May money never come between us and you. And God, I just ask that you bless each person listening to this show. I pray against anyone struggling with depression, anxiety, illness. Please bless everyone here spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially, and bless everyone's family here as well. Lord, we love you. Pray this through Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, don't forget to reach out to me if you're interested in my help on the coaching and consulting. And there's only 10 spots there, first come, first serve. And outside of that, I love you guys, and I will see you next time.